Maddie never made it to work that day and didn't pick up the kids from daycare like usual, which is not like her at all. Like, she's always there for the kids, always on time. So extremely unlike Maddie. No call, no show at work, and not getting the kids is very suspicious. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Delulu Canoe Podcast. Welcome, welcome, everyone. For those of you that are listening on Spotify or Pandora, wherever you listen, I am sitting in the producer chair today. I am tackling the rapids alone today in the Delulu Canoe because I wanted to try something that has been requested by many of our listeners, that some of you want a little bit of true crime. Now, I am an avid listener to true crime. I've never actually composed an episode on something that happened in real life, especially when there are victims involved. I've usually tended to shy away from serious topics like this, but so many of you have been requesting, so I thought I would pick something that I found to be fascinating and a little too close to home. So let's ride this rapids together. Have you ever been so obsessed with something that you want to like recreate it? You're just so interested and enticed by it that you're like, I want to try that. Well, what would you say if it was an actual crime? Which this is the case of Maddie Kingsbury in Winona, Minnesota. Now, if you don't know, I'm originally from Minnesota. I was born and raised there, and I moved as soon as I was 18. So my whole upbringing was there, but my entire adult life has been outside of the state. But I thought this would be a very interesting case to talk about because it was inspired by a case that happened recently. And I do think it's interesting to clock when people are inspired by questionable things. So let's get right on into it. Maddie Kingsbury was a 26-year-old who lived in Winona and was getting her master's degree at Winona State University. She had a full-time job as a clinical research coordinator at the Mayo Clinic, was juggling two children and an on-again, off-again boyfriend relationship with Adam Fravill. On March 31st, 2023, the couple got their kids ready to drop off at daycare a little bit after like 8 a.m.-ish. Maddie said sorry for being late to the daycare provider and said goodbye to the kids and went home. Now, the daycare provider didn't think that this was suspicious. You know, people run late, nothing abnormal yet so far. And Maddie actually had family that lived close by, very tight-knit family. They would text, touch base with her daily. She would reply. Like, it's a pretty typical 26-year-old behavior. Her sister, Megan, texted her and didn't get a response and thought it was rather odd. She texted her about in the morning-ish time, and it was like midday, 3 p.m.-ish, when she thought it was interesting. So what she decided to do is inquire with Adam and ask, hey, is everything okay? Later to find out that Maddie never even made it to work that day, which don't get him confused. Megan is the sister. Maddie is the victim in this case. Maddie never made it to work that day and didn't pick up the kids from daycare like usual, which is not like her at all. Like, she's always there for the kids, always on time. So extremely unlike Maddie. No call, no show at work and not getting the kids is very suspicious. And Adam expressed that he also hadn't seen Maddie and went and picked up the kids himself, which also, again, is like a little strange. Like, why would you go pick up your kids and like not, you know, ask the family like, hey, mother of my girlfriend, I'm going to go pick up the kids because I don't know where my girlfriend is. Like, very strange, very suspicious. As soon as Adam confesses this information to Maddie, that he had picked up the kids, the sister decides to send a message to one of Maddie's neighbors who lives on the same street as her. And she just wanted her to like pop by the house, you know, like, hey, something's going on. Something's not quite right. Will you go like stop by the house to see what's going on? So this neighbor, or one of her good friends, his name is Katie, and Katie heads over to the house, like wasting no time at all, puts her shoes on, walks over to the house, and no one is home. Like, curtains are drawn, it's dark inside, no car in the driveway, which again, very suspicious. Like, why is her man's, Adam, missing, not at home, not with the kids? Like, what is going on? Lots of red flags are waving around to her family, you know, in their mind. They're just like, what is going on? This is so strange. So what we later find out is that Adam took the kids an hour away to drop the kids off at his parents' house. And Katie got such a weird vibe from this. So Katie, again, is the neighbor, got a weird vibe from this information. April 1st rolls around. So a day or so later, no sign of Maddie. The family goes to the police. And by the afternoon, she is deemed a missing person, which thankfully the police acted quickly on that information and didn't waste any time. Adam posts on his Facebook asking if anyone's seen the mother of his children. And the sister goes to TikTok asking people to help search for her. So both parties, even though they think Adam's a little suspicious, turn to social media to see if anyone's seen her, because you truly never know. People are out and about. Maybe someone spotted something suspicious. But the police find footage of the blue van that the family owns driving on a country road and headed south. 25 minutes later, the van traveled north and was parked at her house at about 1 p.m.-ish, but they can't see who was driving the vehicle or where it was going to. So the vehicle is headed south, right? It's like on its way, but 25 minutes later, it's headed back the other direction, which is very strange behavior. At least to me. No. And obviously to police, they thought it was very strange too. So they started on Adam because at this point it's like, who else do they question? So they're going to start with him. And by them, I mean the police. So the police started in on Adam because they had no one else really to question. And he was the last person that saw her. So they asked him about that day. He said they took the blue van because they were moving into his parents' house and he left her the keys to his car. So they did a bit of a car swap. Not that big of a deal. Not very suspicious. Couples do it all the time, especially if they're moving. The van's bigger. Can put more boxes in the backseat. Not suspicious at all. But he kind of, you know, said some other suspicious things because he said on the way to his parents' house, he realized he had the wrong boxes in his car and wanted those in the storage unit, which was not the same way of his parents' house. So at about 4:30 p.m., when he didn't hear anything from Maddie, he went back to go get the kids, and that's when he apparently got worried. So I want you to picture this. You're moving, right? And you load a bunch of your stuff into a car, right? And you've packed the boxes, you're familiar with the items in the boxes, you put it in the car, and then you mean to tell me you got in the car headed towards your parents, but then realized everything that you had spent all that time packing was supposed to go to the storage unit. So that's why he was seen going one way down the highway and then back. And then you realize you haven't heard from your mother of your children. And then you just go get the kids and you don't even like get the police involved or question the family or call her job. So let's just say that Adam is not really making sense, or, I don't know, coming up with good lies at this point. So the police then decide to check the house with no hesitation, because after all of that, why wouldn't you check the house? They found her wallet, keys, and jacket that she was wearing that day in the house. They also noticed the bare spots on the wall as if security cameras were taken down from the inside of the house. And Adam writes it off. It's because they were moving. They're prepping to move. So he just kind of says like, oh yeah, that's the first thing we took down is the security cameras, which again is a little weird. Like, why would you take down the security cameras first? So the police also then clock Adam has a couple of scratches on his face. And Adam says it's from a friend's dog. And there's so many red flags, but red flags aren't enough to arrest him. So the police can't really do anything about it. But they're like, you know, collecting evidence and they're kind of putting things together that like the scratches, the weird driving patterns, the forgetting the boxes, you know, just there's a couple of things that aren't really adding up. So they're just kind of keeping an eye on him. The sister who made the TikTok videos asking about where her sister is go viral. They hit 500,000 views asking people to help her search for her sister, and no one has really seen anything, but it's great to see that social media does play a role in missing people's cases, where if you get enough of the word out, maybe something will happen. And it's great to see that people were willing to help and keep an eye out for her sister. Then the investigators find out that Maddie was having an affair with a man named Spencer. And Maddie was upfront about her relationship with Adam. She made a Tinder account and was venting about Adam to Spencer. Her and Adam did fight a lot. She was looking for ways to just kind of like get out of the relationship. Police looked into Spencer and he was ruled out as not a suspect because he was actually at work that day and he had an alibi the day that she went missing. So he was not deemed of any interest just because he had someone vouch for him. The alibi cleared. But it was very interesting that she was having this sort of like emotional affair. It sounds like nothing like really happened between those two, but it sounded like a relationship was starting to form. And then it made the police wonder about when did she split with Adam, or did she split with Adam? Was this some sort of motive for Adam? So they just kind of kept digging further into the case. And they ended up actually sending a social worker to go chat with the kids because they're like, well, maybe the kids know something. Maybe the kids have seen something. And so they went to the parents' house, which where the kids were, Adam's parents' house. They went there. And unfortunately, the parents were not cooperative with the police. And again, another big red flag. Like, why would the parents of why would Adam's parents not cooperate if they didn't know anything? Like, if they thought their son had nothing to do with it? Very sketchy behavior. But luckily, the police eventually did get the kids removed and reassigned to Maddie's parents eventually, but it didn't happen for a while. So April 1st was when the police got involved with Maddie's disappearance. Now it's April 10th and a tip comes in. A neighbor of Adam's parents saw Adam the day she went missing. He was riding around in a utility vehicle with a shovel. Police then send cadaver dogs to go get a hit off the vehicle, and sure enough, it comes back. But Adam's parents were very quick to claim that there was a dead raccoon, and they used the vehicle and the shovel to dispose of it. But what Adam's parents didn't know is that the cadaver dogs are trained to pick up a scent of humans and not animals. Which the police are very smart in this sense that they will question people without really giving them the full motive of what they're looking for. And it was very interesting how they kept that information to themselves and kind of caught the parents in a bit of a lie, because cadaver dogs are trained specifically for certain tasks and they usually don't slip up, mess up sort of thing. So again, not really making Adam's parents look great either, not making Adam look good. So they just kind of start to hone in on Adam and his family. On May 5th, they hold a vigil for Maddie, and no one is sure if Adam shows up, which, again, suspicious. Like, how does your partner go missing, and no one knows if you were at this vigil? Suspicious, if you ask me. Now is June 5th, and Adam files a petition for his kids to live back with him. And luckily, the courts deny that. We love that because, you know, there's too many red flags here. We're not just giving you back the kids. Sorry, buddy. Now it's June 7th, and we have some unfortunate news. But 46 miles south of Winona, in the town of Mabel, they get a tip, a digital tip, which no one can really define this digital tip. I've tried looking around to get more information on this. But it must have been some sort of anonymous tip from someone. But they find Maddie wrapped in a gray sheet with black duct tape all around her body, steps away from Adam's parents' property. So Adam is arrested on suspicion of murder. People weren't surprised. I mean, her family knew Adam was not good to her. He screamed at her. He slapped her even once during a FaceTime call with her friend over at her house. And Maddie had even told the same friend that Adam was obsessing over the Gabby Petito case. Now, if we're not familiar with Gabby Petito, she was a 22-year-old, was going across the country on a trip with her boyfriend named Brian. And her being found missing during this trip sparked huge social media outrage. Another YouTube couple actually recognized the footage that they had released looking for Gabby Petito, and they checked their own personal footage of the area because they realized like they were kind of going the same direction and like going on the same road trips similarly. And they checked some of their YouTube footage and they actually saw the truck that Gabby went missing in, and that YouTube footage that they found ultimately led to her body, Gabby Petito's body being found. And Adam was obsessed with this case and one night grabbed Maddie by the throat and said if she wasn't careful, she would end up like Gabby. Gabby, basically, they're putting together that her cause of death was strangulation. Maddie told this to multiple people in text messages that he did this, but Maddie never told police. She never did reach out and leave a paper trail, which is so unfortunate. If you are ever in some sort of situation like this, reach out to police, have a paper trail, because you truly never know. She did tell her parents about this situation, that he grabbed her by the neck and said these words to her, and they had her and the kids stay with them for a week, but she ended up moving back in with him. And she ended up telling somebody at work as well that if she goes missing, that it was Adam. So again, she's telling all these people, telling her parents, telling this coworker, but not really telling the right people and not really taking action against Adam, which is so devastating because it is truly hard as a victim of any form of abuse. It is so hard to leave. I myself have been a victim of emotional abuse in my past and more, but we won't dive into that today. And it is hard. They say that it takes you 7 attempts to get away from your abuser. And I was very lucky that I only ended up attempting to leave twice and got out of my situation. But unfortunately, Maddie did not attempt to leave the situation physically. Gabby even in text messages wrote to Adam, "You know, I'm not really okay with or over the fact that you put your hands around my neck and pushed me down in front of the kids earlier. So don't. I'm not okay with it at all, but especially with them there." And Adam's reply to this, "You'll adjust." So luckily, there was at least one paper trail of the physical abuse. So luckily, they had these text messages. And again, makes Adam look awful. It's all in writing. You can't really defend text messages and writings like this. It all points to Adam. And then she confronted Adam towards the end of this all with her love affair. And she confronted him 6 days before she went missing. So police kind of put two and two together that she was having this affair, this emotional affair. She was wanting to leave. He is strangling her in front of the children. She wants to leave. And then 6 days later, she disappears. What more do you need? On June 9th in 2024, Adam is found with 4 counts of murder in different degrees, and his bail set is to $1 million, and her death was determined by homicidal violence, and she had also a $170,000 death benefit from her work, but Adam wasn't listed as a beneficiary. So it's almost as if Maddie had put all these plays into motion, so then that way he wouldn't benefit if something ever happened to her, which speaks volumes, especially as a partner in a relationship with him. Very fascinating that she didn't have him as a beneficiary. Is it fascinating or is it just smart? I think it's smart on her behalf. Adam and his team basically were, Adam and his legal team were really fighting for the case to not be held in Winona County because it's a small town, it's a small county, everybody talks, and, you know, it makes you wonder why. Like, why do you think he would want that? Oh, I don't know, because it would be super easy for people to hear about this case and find him guilty. They even did a survey of people in the area, and 98% of people in that county interacted with a piece of media involving that case. So no wonder him and his legal team were fighting for it to not be held in that county. But it didn't help him at all because they still held it there anyways. And Adam Fravel is now sentenced to life in prison for the murder of Madeline Kingsbury, his former partner and the mother of his 2 children. Now, I wanted to share this piece of true crime because, one, I thought it was very interesting that he was so fascinated by this Gabby Petito case. And it was very interesting, the text messages between Adam and Maddie that luckily were the difference in putting him behind bars for life. Because without those text messages, without all of the little puzzle pieces coming together, he could have gotten off without any punishment, any penalty whatsoever. And it's such a blessing that social media exists in this world because you know, those text messages are there forever. Even if you delete them off a phone, they're still on phone records. So luckily they exist, and they really helped put him away, because that's terrifying that he was so inspired by this other case that he decided to use it verbally as abuse to his partner, but also use it as inspiration. So that is the episode for Delulu Canoe. Let me know if you are interested in me doing more true crime. I find true crime to be equally fascinating, but also equally, I don't know what the word is. It's good to be informed. It's informative because, one, we shine light on the victims that we all wish were still here today, but also it shines a light on people being aware, people being, you know, more open-minded and not as trustworthy with strangers or with anyone in your life, because you never know truly what can and will happen. And the more you are aware of your surroundings and the more that you prepare yourself for anything, whether it's with a taser or mace or anything to protect yourself, you know, knowledge is power, and maybe it could save your life someday. So I don't know. It's very fascinating. I've had this case prepped because I wanted to do a guest episode where everybody brought a true crime that was fascinating to them. And unfortunately, that episode didn't really come to fruition. It just was like a little messy. And so I would love to hear your thoughts in the comment section down below if that would be something you'd be interested in, is if I brought on another guest and we talked a little bit of true crime, or maybe we all picked like an overlapping theme with a true crime case that we could talk about. Obviously, we don't want to bring attention to the, we want to bring attention to the victims. We don't want to bring attention to the people that did wrong. We're not trying to glorify them because, yeah, no, absolutely. These trash bag people don't deserve our, you know, thoughts or our good Delulu here. We want to shine light on the victims more than anything. So let me know. I had a good time doing all the research for this and like putting it all together. And it was very interesting that this happened in Winona, Minnesota, so recently. Like, it's scary. 2024, like not even that long ago was he, you know, sentenced to jail. So let me know in the comment section down below what your thoughts were. And there won't be a Patreon for this one because I don't really have any idea what I would talk about in the Patreon. But yeah, if there's a case you would like for me to do some research on, I would love that. Leave that in the comment section down below. And yeah, if you're listening to this on Spotify, Apple Music, anywhere you listen to podcasts, this one was kind of for you all. Like, this was your little treaty treat because, yeah, I thought this would be really fun for the people that listen instead of watching, because there's not really a lot of visual for this. You know, it's just me sitting in the Cosmo seat. So I hope you all stay Delulu, because it is the Salulu. Be aware of your surroundings. Take care of your friends. Leave a paper trail. Reach out to the police, even if they do nothing about it. And take care of yourselves. Stay Delulu, because it's the Salulu. Bye!